Loving God, once more draw near to us. In your mercy, bring us healing. By your grace, illumine us to the truth. And by your love, set us free to serve you faithfully this day and always. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. A few days ago, the season of Lent began on Ash Wednesday, with a smudge of soot placed on many of our foreheads. Now, Heather and I compared notes on what words we would use as we placed those ashes on people's foreheads. And in the end, we settled on the words that have been said for centuries. Remember that you are of dust, and of dust you shall return. Those are neither commonly heard nor comfortable words, but there's an honesty to them that hits us right between the eyes and on that day leaves a mark. Yet even more important than the words or the ashes is what comes next. You hear the words spoken, you receive the ashes, and then you turn and walk away, back into the church, back into the community, back into the world. Ash Wednesday marks the beginning of that journey, a journey toward Easter, that's true. But for the next several weeks, I want you to explore how this same journey is one that leads to healing. A healing of hearts, of minds, and spirits. Now, Psalm 51 offers very powerful words as we begin this healing journey, because it opens with a series of four verbs. Have mercy on me, O Lord. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me from my iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin. The psalm doesn't try to name whatever the problem is that's troubling the psalmist who's praying these words, nor does it try to pass the blame onto someone else. It doesn't say, Lord, change my situation, and then I'll be happy to praise you. But rather it says, begin with me, Lord. Change me. Wash me. Now let's be clear. What are these words not? These are not words of self-loathing, of beating ourselves down with unrelenting feelings of guilt. Nor are they words of self-abuse, of allowing violence to be inflicted on you because some part of you believes that you are not worthy to be treated better. No. We pray these words to God from a position of being beloved children of God, praying them to a God who we know is steadfast in mercy and quick to forgive. So this Psalm 51, Lenten prayer, is spoken knowing that we are loved by God, but it also knows that we live lives often indifferent to or unmoved by that love. And so the first step in a healing journey of faith is to recognize that we don't often acknowledge God's love. Roland Bacon, he was a famous biographer of Martin Luther, commented that far too many of our sins and misdemeanors are not even recognized, much less remembered, by us, the people who commit them. Bacon said that sinners often sin without compunction. Adam and Eve, after tasting the fruit of the forbidden tree, went blithely for a walk in the Garden of Eden in the cool of the day. And Jonah, after fleeing from the Lord's commission to go to Nineveh, slept soundly in the hold of the ship. It was only when each group was confronted by their accusers that there was any awareness or consciousness of guilt. The novelist Shuseku Endo has written that sin is not what it's usually thought to be. It's not so much about stealing or telling lies. Sin is when one person walks brutally over the life of another and yet is quite oblivious of the wounds he or she has left behind. Jesus himself told a very dramatic parable on this topic. He described two men who went up to pray one day in the temple, an influential Pharisee and a despised tax collector. And the Pharisee prayed, God, I thank you that I'm not like other people, thieves and rogues, adulterers, and even like this tax collector. And he named off his own virtues in prayer, and then he left. But the tax collector stood off to one side, and with downcast eyes he said, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. Now Jesus was quite clear that the second man went home justified and made clean. And in this day and age of relentless positive affirmation, there still remains a need to remember and recognize that our ways are not God's ways, and that this fact is true on a deep, persistent, and personal level in our lives. And only when this recognition of sin sinks in is it possible for a desire to make things right through the promise of God's grace now can work to heal and to cleanse. So the first step is this recognition. And coupled with that is the second step about taking a journey toward repentance. Now, repentance as a word means to turn, to reorient yourself away from that which diminishes and destroys, and then redirect yourself toward that which is holy, healing, and life-giving. I was recently reminded how the early Christian believers, before they would join the church through the sacrament of baptism, would prepare for that sacrament with a long time of study and teaching and prayer. And then just before they received the baptism waters, they would renounce evil, and then they would turn to face the east and to look at the rising sun. And while facing in that direction, then they would make their affirmations, saying that they trusted and believed in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. One of the marks of a healthy Islamic faith is to face east and to pray 5 times a day. Orthodox Judaism has its followers repeat the Shema from the Hebrew Scriptures, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one, and to face east as they say it. And for Christians, one of the names for the Messiah from the prophet Malachi is the name Son, S-U-N, Son of Righteousness. And when Zechariah, John the Baptist's father, finally regained the power of speech, he gave a long prayer about the coming Savior who, quote, would dawn from on high to guide us, giving light to those who sit in darkness and to lead our feet in the ways of peace. Now, I mention all these things not to give you a quick lesson in comparative religion, but to help you recognize that there is a common characteristic associated with prayers of confession. That if we recognize our sin and wish to repent of sin, that involves some sort of movement, a reorienting of ourselves. And symbolically, for many traditions of faith, that reorientation has involved looking east, to look to the place of the rising sun, that place of the promise of a new day, even an Easter day of resurrection. And even something as simple as just knowing where the sun rises and directing a prayer in that direction can become a spiritual practice that can lead to healing. Because ideally you can picture yourself with that group of newly baptized Christians standing with the waters still glistening on their heads, intentionally facing towards the sun, and as it rises to say, I too believe in Jesus the Christ, my Lord and Savior, in whom I trust. And that leads to a third and a final step I'll mention today on this journey towards healing. We first recognize that we are in need of cleansing, and we reorient ourselves in the direction of Christ and the resurrection light. But both those acts simply serve as a preparation for when we pray to God to be given a clean heart and a right spirit. Now remember, it is God who creates anew in us, just as God created in the beginning of time and is still at work as an artist creating all that's new in the world. And it is God that places the right spirit in us. It's not simply a self-help course. It's not for us to try and do it on our own. It's not, Lord, please forgive me for this thing and this minor detail. And once those blemishes are removed, everything else in my life will be just perfect. This isn't about symptoms, and it's not about superficial changes. This is about surgery. This is about souls. This is about a true newness of life that's made possible by God's grace and God's redemption. Now, I don't want this to sound abstract. To have a new and a right spirit within us is a gift from God. That's crucial to appreciate. And it does involve many things. It involves virtues of humility and peacefulness, patience, compassion, trust. But it also involves being spiritually connected to others. And in that connection, we discover that our hearts, our souls, our very eyes are now open to the world in a new way. Let me give one little example. Back in the 1920s, two Polish boys named Lolek and Jerzy met when they were 5 years old. And over the years, these two boys had a strong friendship, and they would play soccer together and do their homework together, and invariably were going in and out of each other's homes all the time. During World War II, Jerzy Kluger, who was Jewish, lost most of his family in Nazi death camps, and he lost touch with his childhood friend, Lolek. Lolek Wotilla, who was Catholic, went on to become a priest. And the two men happened to meet again when in 1965, Jerzy read an article about the Second Vatican Council, and Lolek's name was mentioned in the article. And so they called and reconnected, and the two men became good friends for the next 40 years. And that friendship bore lots of fruit, because Lolek's real name was Karol Wotilla, better known to us as Pope John Paul II. Now, I can't document the nature of this friendship, but the first personal audience granted to anyone when John Paul became Pope was to Jerzy Kluger and his family. And with Kluger's help, John Paul reestablished diplomatic relationships for the first time between Israel and the Vatican. John Paul became the first pope to visit a synagogue, the first pope to visit Auschwitz, the first to condemn anti-Semitism as a sin. A right spirit connecting us with others in God's world transforms us. Let me give you another way to think about this. Most of you have heard about Facebook. Many of you are on Facebook. Do you know how many people are now enrolled worldwide on Facebook? There's now more than 800 million subscribers to Facebook. If Facebook were a country, it would be the third most populous country in the world after India and China. A right spirit cannot pretend we exist in American isolation from God or from the rest of God's creation. We are ancient Israel and modern America. We are ourselves and every other person that we encounter this day and every day. Because that's the way God sees us. That's the way the eyes of an eternal God look upon us. So wouldn't a right spirit and a clean heart necessarily see things with this type of vision, this vision of the Lord? Psalm 51 says, this right spirit is a joyful spirit. It's open to others. It desires what is true for all. It's guided by a wisdom and a humility that's written deep upon our heart and soul. And it's a spirit that knows that every sin that's done against another person diminishes all people, including ourselves. There is no such thing as a private sin. Our acts ripple out from us until they touch others, and going even to the very throne of God. Psalm 51:4, "Against you have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, O God." And so we gather here in the church on this, the first Sunday of Lent. And there's a smudge of ashes and a reminder that we are of dust and to dust we will return, and that all is not as it should be, either within us or around us. And so we bow our heads in prayer and confession, asking and seeking repentance. And then we turn and orient ourselves to the east, to the light of the sun, the promise of a new day. And then we lift our eyes and we see the world through one another's glance, a fresh world, a new world, even as we ask for a right spirit to now reside within us. And then in that moment, we breathe in and out as one spirit is replaced by a new spirit. And in that sequence, a journey of healing has begun in earnest. And so how do we respond to that? Psalm 51:15. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise. It shall indeed. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Beloved of God, let us enter into a time of prayer. Most gracious and loving God, we thank you for this day. We thank you, Lord God, that your mercies are renewed and newed each and every morning. And we thank you, Lord God, that it is in you that we move, breathe, and have our very being. Lord, as we enter into these 40 days of Lent, we are reminded that it is out of dust you created us, O God. And we realize that it is to dust that we shall return. And we come to realize, Lord God, that it is in those times in between those two periods that life sometimes becomes unbearable, that it sometimes becomes messy, that our lives don't always reflect who and what you have created us to be. Lord God, we fall short when we pass by our brother and sister on the street without lending them a helping hand or even sending a glance, a smile their way. We fall short, Lord God, when we encounter those who are obviously hurting and we don't stop to offer a word of encouragement. We fall short, Lord God, when we don't show forth your love to all those we encounter. And so we come today asking you, in your mercy, Lord, to renew your spirit within us. And we come today, Lord God, lifting to you all of those who suffer, all of those who are grieving the loss of family or loved ones, most especially this week, the Joss, Dickie, and Gilmore family. We come today, Lord God, thanking you for the lives of children that have been recently born. Lord, you know the plans that you have for each of them. And so we ask that your plans would come to fruition in each of their lives, Lord God, and that we would be there to lift up and encourage the parents, to help them with the awesome responsibility of the new life, the gift of life that you have given to each and every one of them. We come this morning, Lord God, lifting those who are facing medical procedures to you, or those who are healing from one, those who are in the hospital, or those who are at home deciding which way to go. You have said in your word that that it is by your stripes that we have already been healed. And so we claim that healing for each and every one of them on this day. We come lifting those who are experiencing darkness today, whether it be actual or spiritual. And we pray that they would see your light, that they would recognize that all they need to do is turn to your Son, whom you've given to each and every one of us. Lord, we come today asking you to help us to turn to you, to return to you, realizing that it is in you that we are healed, that we become whole, and that we are made righteous. It is in you that we are the children of God. Lord, we ask that you would help each and every one of us over these next 40 days to examine ourselves, our actions, our thoughts, but most of all, to look to Jesus, our Lord and Savior, who you sent to show us the way. As we lift our voices in unison today, praying the prayer that he taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us as we forgive. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.